hello again, everybody, and welcome back to X-Files Diaries. I'm Annie.
I'm Jen.
And today, this is going to be a fun episode. We are going to count down our top 10 Scully moments.
Yay!
Agent Dana Scully. of all time. And don't worry, Mulder fans, we will be back, you know, a few weeks from now probably, and we will count down the Mulder ones as well. But we're going to do Scully first. But before we get to those, let's run down the tweets of the week.
He's made outrageous public statements on an internet site.
That wasn't him. That was me. And they're not outrageous.
First of all, we would just like to throw out a very, very hearty apology for all of our tech issues that we've been having over the past couple weeks. We are in the midst of changing hosting sites and all of this technical mumbo jumbo that I don't really understand. And hopefully everything seems to be working again. But we appreciate you guys hanging in there with us. All of the links should be working again. If you want to go back to see old episodes, they should be all downloadable on iTunes now. And we should be back running. Thanks again, you guys, for your patience. Because of that, we probably didn't get a whole lot of tweets to be discussing about our last couple episodes, but we did get some. And Jen, are you ready to read them?
I've got a few tweets from our most recent episode, which was a discussion of Little Green Men as part of our ongoing Myth Arc series. From Monica. Monica says, the gray sleeveless is in all caps, I will say. The gray sleeveless t-shirt has its obvious perks. Scully just doesn't want to let go of that sweaty bicep. We feel you, Scully. And Monica, thank you for including a screen cap of Scully feeling up Mulder's sweaty bicep. Much appreciated. Monica also says, I love this ep and the ending of it will always leave me warm and fuzzy. Right? Me too.
Oh, totally.
From Rachel. Hi, Rachel. Love this episode so much. My headcanon about the red-green color blindness has always been that Mulder's just so smart, he knows how to fake it and fool the FBI if necessary. Annie, I think that's a pretty good theory, actually. I think that's probably the best theory I've heard about the red-green color blindness. It covers all the bases.
I actually agree. I like it a lot. Because it gets us through the technicality and the weirdness of it. And then it also is it's a pro for Mulder. So
Exactly. And he is like a brilliant guy. So yeah, if anyone could fake it, it's him. And that would explain like, oh, he doesn't seem to be red, green, colorblind. No, that's the whole point. He's so good at fooling you.
He fakes it so well through 90% of the series. So, right? I mean,
exactly. He's really, really good at it. And yeah, he may well have had to fool the FBI. Also, Rachel comments, this was in response to something that I said. Rachel says, I don't find it unrealistic that Mulder is super bad at Spanish. He grew up on Martha's Vineyard, which is not known for its linguistic diversity.
Yeah, thank you, Rachel. Yeah. Cut poor Mulder a break. Like, you know, he's not out there taking all these courses and mingling with the folk. Come on.
I know. I'm just, you know, I'm Canadian. I don't understand how languages work in America. Just in Canada, we all know French, and I understand that that's because we're like an officially bilingual country, which of course is not the case in the United States of America.
I mean, it isn't. It may as well be, but I have to say that things were probably different 25 years ago.
Well, true as well.
Than they are now. So, yeah, I would say a lot more people now probably know Spanish just as a matter of course.
That's right. Yep.
Back in the day, you know, and kid growing up on Martha's Vineyard, no, he wouldn't have any reason to have any sort of grasp on it.
No, not a lot of linguistic diversity. Exactly. I see that now. From Kathy G. Kathy G. says, love this discussion. Little Green Men has always ranked high on my list, and I'm glad Annie came around.
Yeah.
So glad you mentioned the "you're a pig" phone message. I always figured Mulder just offhandedly agreed to lunch to get out of a conversation, and this was the result. And a bit of a dialogue ensued with Eddie saying, "Yeah, but like apparently he hounded her," and Kathy responded with, "Yeah, I just thought she was more into him, and she misinterpreted it. He doesn't seem to be in the state of mind to be pursuing anyone." And yeah, that's probably true. And Monica added, maybe he was just horny and realized later that single life side effect wasn't worth actually dating. Fox Mulder ain't got time for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly, Monica. I think that sounds, that's a pretty good guess at what went on there, I'd say.
You know,
it seemed like a good idea at the time.
I wanted to bring this up because I'm trying to remember, I think it was in the season one episode, was it Young at Heart, when he has this little back and forth with that the handwriting expert, Henderson. Do you remember this scene?
Yeah, I do.
The female, and it's one of the very rare interactions that we see with him and another FBI coworker who happens to be a female. And they're very, they're very flirty. She's a little, she's a little more flirty than him, but he's definitely like playing along. And it struck me as maybe it was that kind of scenario where he was just, he was being very nice and he was being his typical Mulder flirty self. And maybe perhaps she misread it and he was just kind of maybe not necessarily meaning it, but like putting it out there as like, hey, let's go out or whatever. And then something just happened. So that's kind of my take on it, just because we've seen that happen.
I think that's entirely plausible. I don't think that Mulder understands the effect he has on women and some men everywhere he goes, because he's given it off, but he does not realize that, which makes him all the hotter.
Exactly.
So understandable. I would hound him for lunch too, given half the chance. So thanks everyone for your tweets as always. Keep tweeting us anytime at XFD Podcast and join in with the discussion. Thanks guys.
Mulder, the internet is not good for you.
All right. Special Agent Dana Scully, Jen.
Woo-hoo. I love her.
I mean, we wouldn't be here if we didn't, right?
Yeah.
I'm excited to hear. Sometimes we know ahead of time what each other have picked. We do not know anything on these lists at all.
We don't have any idea what the other person has picked. This is going to be interesting.
I want a little prediction. How many of these do you think we have that are the same?
I'm going to say three.
Oh, I was going to say three. We can both say three. I'm going to take that a step further. I'm going to predict that we have the same number one.
I think that's entirely possible.
Okay. I don't know for sure, but I know you very well and I'm pretty sure we picked the same one, but we will see.
I think there's a very good chance of that.
Okay.
Yeah. There's nothing obscure in my number one position.
Okay. Well,
so, it's definitely a possibility. And I think some of our listeners it'll be their number one as well, perhaps.
We'll see. Just to mix it up, I'll say four. Since you said three, I'll say four.
Okay, we'll see.
And this will be a lot of fun. We will celebrate Dana Scully. This is going
to
be awesome.
It's always a wonderful day to celebrate Dana Scully. Yeah. Would you like to go first today, Annie? I feel like go first. What's your feeling on that?
I don't mind. Do you want me to go first?
You go, girl.
All right. Okay, my number 10 is from the episode Je Souhaite. Just what?
Okay.
Which we can never say. And this is the moment in the episode where Scully has finally got her invisible body. And she is in the autopsy bay. And she is powdering him. She's dusting him with powder. I love this moment so much because I feel like it's one of the only times in the entire series, even really, that we get to see her see this proof of the paranormal with her own eyes. Yeah. She gets to enjoy the shit out of it. And she's having so much fun. Like, she's got the powder on her nose and she's so gleeful and happy. And like, you could tell when Mulder comes in, like, he's so happy for her and it's just so precious. And then it all just gets ripped away from her. And then in classic Scully fashion, she then immediately backtracks and is like, well, maybe I didn't see it. And I love it, the position of this in season 7, like literally right before Requiem, right before we don't know where the show is going, we don't know how it's going to end. It was such a really sort of fun, meta, tongue-in-cheek way to deal with Scully and have it, being exposed to this sort of thing, like actually getting the proof. What do you do when you actually have the proof and you can't blame being in a coma or being real cold or getting stung by a bee or getting passed out? You can't blame 82 things. Like, you can't. The only thing you can blame is yourself. And that's what she does. And I just love it. I love it. It's like the turnaround, like the whiplash you get from Scully in this episode is just classic. So that's my number 10. Yeah. Number 10.
That That is an awesome number 10. Before we started recording tonight, we said, I hope we haven't forgotten like something really obvious. That's something that I completely forgot about that to me is quite obvious actually now. And I'm like, I'm so glad you remembered that because I would have kicked myself if neither of us had remembered it.
Yay.
Because that is such a great moment. It's a great, she's just so happy and excited.
I just love seeing her so happy. It's so rare.
I just like seeing Scully happy. It mm-hmm. is a rare thing. And God knows Requiem. And from there on out, there's not going to be a lot of joy.
No.
So it's nice that she had that moment. And it's just, yeah, it's funny and it's cute and it's different and it's delightful. Mm-hmm. And so I'm really glad you remembered that and that you put it on your list. So well done. Kudos.
Yay.
For your inclusion from Je Souhaite. Is it time for my number 10?
It is. Let's hear it.
Number 10. My number 10 is from season 10, Mulder and Scully Meet the Weremonster.
Oh.
Specifically, the scene where Scully steals Dagoo. And immediately prior to that, because you know, we see that, you know, Scully is being set upon by the serial killer animal control officer. That's the last we see of her until Mulder arrives. In the time while Mulder has traveled to the animal control shelter, which he had to find out the directions to, by the time he gets there, Scully has got it all sorted. There's like crap all over the place. You can tell an ass kicking has happened and that she has been the victor. Because she has solved the case prior to arriving. She's got the guy in custody. And
she's rather chill about the whole thing, too.
She's totally chill about it. She throws in a line to Mulder about being immortal, which I love. And she's just like, just dust myself off. No problem. Everything's good in Scully land. And then just as like the little cherry on top, just as everyone else has left, she looks around, slightly sneaky maybe, and just picks up Dagoo and walks out the door. And I love every second of it. So that is my number 10.
That is a really good one. When you said season 10, I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah, where's this going?
Yeah, what's she find in season 10? But that's actually really, really good. And I think that, I mean, Darren loves Scully, obviously. And I feel like in all of Darren Morgan's episodes, Scully gets to like save the day. Like, and
yes.
she does it in this episode with such ease. And she's so chill. I love that scene. That's a great scene because she's just like, all right, save it for the save it for the trial. Or whatever. Like everything about that scene is so great. And I love, too, the fact that she's very calm throughout this entire episode. And Mulder is also very like, hey, why would you do that? Don't go into a dangerous situation without backup. I love how protective he is, by the way, in this episode's first week. But then he immediately turns around and he does the same damn thing. So it's nice to see that Scully gets to be the one who gets to sort of take down the bad guy. And she does it by herself. And she gets to she's really badass in that scene. That's a really great pick. I love it.
I love that. And great point about Darren Morgan. He does write Scully as saving the day. She solves the case more often than not in Darren Morgan episodes, in almost every one, actually. So
she gets to be right.
Thanks, Darren.
Nice. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just one of the many genius things about Darren Morgan. So that's great. What's your number 9, Annie?
This actually worked out perfectly because my number 9 is also a Darren Morgan episode.
Yay. Which one?
This is really, really random. And I think everyone listening is going to be like, oh, this is the dumbest thing ever. But I just love it. And I laugh every single freaking time in Clyde Bruckman's Final Repose. Okay. When they are walking through the woods and Clyde Bruckman is telling his very, very heartfelt story about the Big Bopper and Buddy Holly, and he's telling his whole thing. And Scully, and I have to give Jillian credit for this, her line is so dismissive. It is the funniest thing ever. She just says, well, Mr. Bruckman, I'm not one who readily believes in that kind of thing. And if I was, I still wouldn't believe that story.
And it is very dismissive.
It's so dismissive. And she rolls her eyes when she says it. And I just love it. And you know what? I think we're going to have to roll a clip of it because seriously, the way that she says it is so funny. So here, let's hear the clip.
They became capable of seeing the specifics of everybody's death.
Now, Mr. Bruckman, I'm not one who readily believes in that kind of thing. And if I was, I still wouldn't believe that story.
There you have it. Scully being amazing. totally dissing Clyde Bruckman's awesome story.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It's so funny, and I just love it. And I don't know why, but I always think about it when I think of Scully at, like, her most skeptical.
Yes.
And her most, like, over this shit. I always think of that line because it's just doubly dismissive. It's like, well, I don't believe in that anyway, but even if I did, that was a shitty story. Like, it's really mean. It's definitely one of those things where if you've never seen the show before, you probably watch that and go, wow, she's tough to please. Like,
what a bitch.
Seriously.
She's verging a little bit on rude, perhaps,
yeah,
there, but
yeah.
Like, but she owns it, and she's just over it.
I
and
love, you know, when she what? Owns it. It's one of my
she
favorite
owns
things.
It.
Yeah.
And Clyde Bruckman doesn't take offense. He's fine with it.
Well, he loves Scully, of course.
He loves
everybody
Scully.
Loves Scully. But it's just...
She can do no wrong.
It's so funny, and it makes me laugh every time.
Hilarious.
And it's just classic Scully skeptic, like, to a fault. So I had to include
it. It's always like, yeah, that it's that second part that always gets me. The first part, you know, I don't believe in that kind of thing. That's what you expect Scully to say. And then, like, she just has to, like, just put the knife in a
like,
little
twist
farther.
It
like, and even
a little
I did,
bit, yeah.
I wouldn't believe that story. You're dissing his beliefs and his story.
Yeah.
That was unnecessary, really. Right. But the unnecessariness of it is actually what makes it hilarious. So
it's just very
that's a good one.
Yeah, it's just very randomly mean. And I love when she's, like, kind of mean because, like, she's probably so over men, like, 99.9% of the time.
Right,
that she's
right.
Just like, oh, my God, I'm walking through the woods with these two idiots. I just love it. I just love it. Anyway.
That is awesome. What a great pick. I love it.
Thank you.
That is quite random, but I enjoy its randomness, and it's a great choice. My number 9, it's also another one from the revival. This is from season 11. The episode is the one that I refer to as RM9. It specifically is the driverless whips ride that Scully goes on because she's just, like, so pissed off the whole time, and
like,
rightly so.
Is this going to be like the Scully bitch episode? I'm so excited about this.
I'm liking the direction this is going in because, she's essentially being kidnapped by this, like, scary car. But is she scared? No. She's just pissed off the whole time. It all gets off to, like, a great start at the beginning where the little computer is saying, like, tell me how I can make your ride more enjoyable. And Scully's answer is, be quiet. It's like, how many times have I wanted to say that to a taxi driver or an Uber driver? And it's like, God. Yeah, I'm with you on that one, Scully, actually. And, like, she's just, like, yelling the whole time, who am I talking to? And it's just I just love her. I love her when she's being sort of, like, annoyed and irate with good reason in, like, a perilous situation. Mm-hmm. And she's just, like, mad about it. And I love it. And I love at the very end when she gets out and she just kind of, like, has this, like, what the fuck arm gesture. Yes. When she gets out, she just raises her arms like, what the fuck was that? And then she's in her adorable little casual outfit with her sneakers on. And she's just out of there. She's just like, big sigh, fuck this shit. Mm-hmm. And I just love her through that whole thing. There's probably more lines in that. Whips drive sequence than there is in the whole rest of the episode. Certainly from Scully there is.
That's what I think is so funny about that episode or about that scene, and specifically because we've just been with Mulder and Scully for, like, you know, a good 6-7 minutes in silence doing nothing.
Yes.
And she gets into the car and suddenly has to talk, and and she's talking in that way that, like, when you talk to, like, an electronic thing and you sound like a robot yourself.
Yeah.
It's kind of like when you call up somebody's voicemail and the robot voice sounds more human than your voice. It's like, hi, you've reached the voicemail of Anna McMahon. I just said my wrong name, but you know what I mean? You've reached the voicemail of the person who is actually a robot, but it's pretty funny.
Oh, you're so right. You know what? I find it an inherently hilarious thing whenever I hear people talking on the phone to something automated. Like, I can't hear the other end of the conversation, but they just have this really weird tone that they're saying, like, account balance. Like, what is happening on that phone call?
It's bizarre.
So there's something I find inherently funny about people talking to automated things. And that just adds to my enjoyment of that scene. So
my personal favorite bit in that scene is when she's getting out of the car and she's like, poor, no, never again. Like...
It's like, yeah, tell us what you really think.
Yeah.
It's coming through loud and clear. I love it. Because I have been known to quote that myself when I'm like really pissed off about something. Poor, awful, terrible, never again.
I love it.
It's just priceless. She's not leaving out any opinion on that. So I love her. I love that. I love that whole sequence. So it's my favorite part of that episode. And it's, to me, a fantastic Scully moment.
Love it.
That's my number nine. What's your number eight, Annie?
All right. Number eight. My number eight is Triangle. When Scully, well, she's already being a badass and she's walking around the Hoover building, but
yes,
it sort of like culminates in this moment where she has just completely lost her shit. She's at the end of her rope. Nobody is helping her. And she gets down into the basement and confronts poor little Jeffrey Spender, of all people.
I want you to do me a favor. It's not negotiable. Either you do it or I kill you. You understand?
You okay? Just going?
No, I'm not. I'm a gun ready to go off. So don't test me, Spender. Don't even think about trying to weasel me.
What is it that you need?
Navy. AWACS. SLAR. 100K west, south, southeast of Germania. I am looking for a boat, maybe a ship, 1939 luxury liner.
1939?
Don't ask too many questions. I don't care what you do or who you do or who you have to grease. I need that information and I need it now. Are we clear on that?
Crystal.
That is just one of my favorite Scully moments because, you know, even though it was kind of stupid to go to Spender because, of course, he immediately tattles. And Scully really should have known better. Probably. I do love anytime we get to see her sort of like assert her... Like people are probably afraid of her at work. You know what I mean? Like, I think they probably are because
they should be.
And they should be. And they should be for scenes like this. And I feel like Spender shriveled up a little bit in that scene. I absolutely believe
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it's like by the end of the scene, she literally seems like she's taller than he is.
Yeah, yeah. So it's a very tiny moment, but definitely one of my favorite Scully moments.
That is great. You know, I don't have anything from Triangle on my list because Scully is just nonstop awesome in Triangle. When I think about Triangle, I tend to think about the stuff on the ship and forget about the stuff going on at the FBI. But that is all priceless stuff.
Yeah.
It's all so good. Scully is so good through that. And that is a great scene with Spender. She is just like... I don't care what you do and who you do that mm-hmm. or who you do. That is just like, love it. So yeah. Well delivered. So well done. She is a woman on a mission and the way, of course, that episode is shot, it just lends itself to that whole sort of like, get out of my way. I'm on a task.
That
and
urgency.
I'm gonna get this done. Yeah. Like, don't even get in her way because she will take you down.
And you know that she's doing it all to save Mulder, which adds to it.
Yes. So, yeah. It makes it awesome. That's the awesomest part.
Yeah. Yeah.
And yeah, great choice. I love Scully and Triangle. Scully and Triangle is an awesome Scully, actually. And most Scullies are. Mm-hmm. Similarly, my number eight, not that similar, but slightly, is from season four. It's from Tunguska and Terma. This scene appears in both. Mm-hmm. And it's when Scully is testifying before the Senate Subcommittee on Intelligence and Terrorism.
Okay, I have something from that too, but it's different. Okay.
Sweet! Mm-hmm. So this is, you know, Scully's just, we've talked before about, you know, Scully and sort of how she reacts to authority figures. Well, by the time we're at this stage in the series, she is just had it with authority and she is going up there. She is laying it all out. She is speaking truth to power in such an awesome public way. I mean, like, this cannot be good for her career. She doesn't give a shit. She is doing it. And I mean, we've heard the lines that she speaks quite a lot in recent years because they seem super prophetic. Because she says, I still believe in this country, but I believe that there are powerful men in this government who do not, men who have no respect for the law, who flout it with impunity. That there we have Dana Scully, prophet in the 1990s, about things to come.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And she is laying it all out there and she is so tough and so articulate and calm and she's just putting it out there. And again, she's protecting Mulder, but she's also like speaking for his cause because he's not there to do it. And she's happy to take it on. She's taking the risks. She's putting herself out there. She's getting thrown into Congress jail or wherever that was that they sent her. And I love her. I love her in that scene. I love her in those episodes. And I love her. So that's my number 8.
That is an excellent one. And that's definitely one that I mean, my Tunguska / Terma one is a little bit different, but I'm surprised I didn't remember that because I have seen that all over Twitter, all over Tumblr, because it's so relevant. And it's a great moment. And it just goes to show you that, like, yeah, Dana Scully for president, man. Like,
right?
She's up there, like, speaking truth completely, like you said, calmly, rationally, articulately. She's amazing in that scene. And she's, like, not backing down. And I love that. I love that. And yep. I think season 4 is so good. It's such a good time frame for Scully because she... This is kind of the middle of the journey where, you know, she's seen a lot of shit at this point. She's still not quite all the way there yet, but, like, she's definitely seen enough to know, like, that to not let anyone pull anything over on her. Like, she's like, I know that there's some shady cover-up shit. I'm not a spring chicken anymore here. Like, it's a really, really nice season for growth for her for a lot of reasons. I mean, season 4 is phenomenal, but that's such a great two-parter, great mythology pair of episodes, and that's a really, really good pick.
It really is. Those are great episodes. What is your number 7, Miss Annie?
So this is going to be probably pretty surprising because this is actually a season 9 moment. But speaking of how you were, this is actually really goes off well off the tail of what you just said, because she's in there speaking for Mulder when he can't speak for himself. Mm-hmm. Similarly, I'm choosing a moment from the episode Sunshine Days, which is the second to last episode. And I think, honestly, a pretty underrated episode. I think it's actually a really good episode. I don't have a problem with it at all. I just kind of have a problem with where it is situated in the season. It's just kind of strange. In terms of tone, I would say. In terms of content, I mean, the idea that Scully is going to do anything she can to validate Mulder specifically... it is such a great thing in season 9 when we haven't had him all season. And so the moment I like is the part where the part at the very end, it's kind of two parts, but the part at the very end where she's standing and she realizes she's lost her proof. She's standing outside the hospital room.
I mean, I've been working this unit for 9 years now. I've investigated nearly 200 paranormal cases. We are due for some incontrovertible proof. I want vindication for Mulder and for all of us.
I really love the fact that we see this in season 8 too, that she sort of wants to take the role of Mulder. And it's such a cool thing to see for Scully after all of this time, for her to have to sort of take over that role. Not necessarily because she has to, because she kind of does, but because she wants to, because she misses Mulder. Mm-hmm. This is one of those moments where Scully gets to sort of take over that role, and I just love the fact that she acknowledges that she wants to do it for Mulder, and she's come so far, and I just think it's such a really, really cool, nice moment for her, even though she doesn't actually get the proof, for her to get to say that, and for everyone else to get to see it, like Skinner gets to see it, and everyone else gets to see it. It's just such a really, really nice moment, and an underrated one, and I really liked Scully in that episode.
Great, great choice. I will admit that Sunshine Days is not an episode that frequently finds its way into my rewatch schedule. but I should rewatch that again because, yeah, you're right. That is a great little speech from Scully, and it's so meaningful, especially given where it is in the season and in the series. And yeah, it says a lot about her, about her character. We just get so precious little even mention of Mulder in season 9. So to get such an explicit mention of him and to have such a heartfelt mention of him from Scully, and not necessarily in like an angsty way, but like in kind of just a loving way, sort of. And it's delightful and it's wonderful and very moving. Mm-hmm. And I haven't watched that episode in a while, and I should give it another go. It definitely gets a lot of shade thrown its way, I think. But like you say, a lot of that can be attributed perhaps to where it is in the season. But I'm going to rewatch it just because you've reminded me how good it is. And I think maybe I'm one of those people that have underrated it as well.
Yeah, I think a lot of people do. And I mean, I'll talk about this for just a minute longer, since I can't foresee an opportunity in which we're actually going to talk about Sunshine Days again anytime soon.
Doesn't seem that likely,
Yeah, but I think that this is one of those scenarios too, where perhaps this was slated to air earlier in the schedule, but it got moved later. Kind of maybe for the same reason that we suspect Nothing Lasts Forever got moved later, because there's a really, really important emotional beat right there at the end, right there at the end of the episode that you don't want to then stomp over with other stuff. So, I mean, tonally, it's pretty terrible to go from, I think, not William, because I think it goes William, release, and then this. But
I think so.
It is a bit of tonal whiplash, and I think that's the problem. But it's actually a very good episode just that stands alone. If you watch it and you don't really take into account where it falls in the episode in the season, it's actually really good. And that bit at the end, it's almost like a teeny tiny little shipper validation that people forget is there. Because I mean, God, we've been through with them for 9 years, and Scully actually gets to say that she's had the proof, if not proof of the paranormal, then of more important things. And that's kind of what we always talk about when we're talking about, like, at the end of the day, this show really is a love story. Even, you know, when Frank was on here, he's admitting that at the end of the day, the paranormal that we all know is love, you know?
Yeah, that's
and
right.
So, and that's exactly, I mean, she's talking about Mulder, obviously, but the idea of the X-File in this episode being about this guy who has this power and he can't use it because it's killing him, but all he really needs is, like, the love of this dad figure. It's a really nice story when you look at it that way. It would have been nicer, you know, if like maybe Mulder were there, but he's not there. And so we have to take what we have, and what we have is this really beautiful moment at the end where Scully gets to say that. And I just love it. It's just a really nice moment for her.
It is a great moment. And I also do love it because it just, you get a sense of the breadth of the full series, which we don't often get and don't always get.
Right.
But it's, you know, just that sense of how, I mean, 9 years, that's a long time. And like, as viewers to kind of be like, yeah, man, we've been here for 9 years together. Let's all hold hands and cry. So it's like, it is a great sort of acknowledgement. And you make a really good point as well that I think Chris Carter really likes the structure of having like a sort of emotional episode, like you say, or at least an emotional ending to an episode right before the finale, because it happens frequently throughout the series. Often the second last episode of the season is one of my favorites.
Yeah.
And I think you're absolutely right that there's a good chance that this wasn't necessarily intended to air in that slot, but that it fulfilled that role when no other readily available episode did. And that might have been why it aired there.
I mean, off the top of my head, I'm thinking like, okay, season 7, we have the moment of Jeswat, which we just talked about, where Scully tells Mulder that she's fairly happy. And we have this really meaningful moment between the two of them. And then I'm going through the episodes in my season 6. I believe right before the final episode is Field Trip, where they have that that hand touching moment, which is hugely
lovely.
Important. Season 5 would be 1 in 5 billion.
Oh, yeah.
Really, we like these penultimate episodes really give us these nice, shippy, emotional beats before we head into the craziness of whatever cliffhanger we're going to be getting. So it's really
great episodes.
It's a nice pattern that they seem to be doing. And they carried on with that they even did that in the revival with Babylon. We got the Babylon with a nice scene at the end with them.
We did.
Right before the end. This really is a pattern. I feel like we're onto something.
Are definitely onto something.
And then Nothing Lasts Forever.
And then Nothing Lasts Forever in the church, the final scene there. Yep. So not just the whole episode, but like that very final scene is really significant. So really great point. We're just so brilliant. That's all I can say about that. Really excellent point. And I hadn't thought of, I kind of thought of season 9 as being a little bit not fitting in the pattern, but I'd forgotten about that scene, to be honest. So I think that we can put it into the pattern as well. So kudos. I'm going to write a dissertation about it. Well said. On to my number 7. My number 7 is from season number 7. And it's from my favorite episode, Requiem.
Of course.
Now, this is a little bit of a different one on my list, because a lot of my list is like, you know, Kick-Ass Scully, because I do love Kick-Ass Scully. Mm-hmm. But this is particularly vulnerable Scully when she shows up at Mulder's motel room and she's not feeling well. And Mulder's like, what's wrong? You look sick. I don't know what's wrong. And she tells him exactly how she's been feeling. They get in bed. There's cuddling. All kinds of wonderful things happen. And I love it because so often in the past, this just shows so much growth from Scully, because so often in the past, every time there was something wrong with Scully, like when she was dying of cancer, for example, she would always say, I'm fine, Mulder. That was always what her go-to mantra was. And so to finally see that when she's feeling not well, weird, she's not only is she hiding it, she's actually seeking Mulder out and being vulnerable with him and telling him exactly how she's feeling. And the fact that it leads to super adorable snuggling is a bonus. So I really like that sort of character growth arc for Scully and the way that it's manifest in that episode. So that's why it's my number 7.
That's actually a really good point. I mean, we know at that point that their relationship is maybe starting to change a little bit, and maybe she's starting to open up a little bit more. I have to point out though that when they are in the bed, she does say to him, "I'm going to be fine." She does say that to him.
She does. But you got to say something at that point.
But you can tell by the way she delivers it, and by the way she kind of starts to fall apart afterward when he's telling her all these things, that her walls are coming down a little bit. And I like that. I like that we get to see that. And this is a really good example of that. And you're very, very right. That's a great moment for her. It's definitely some growth. Like, she even tries to say she's fine, but she knows she's not fine. And she knows she wouldn't be there if she was fine. You know. So we all know.
She is there to not be fine.
Exactly. And Mulder is there to be fine for all of us.
Yeah. It's just like, you know, as soon as she says, I don't know what's wrong, he just doesn't hesitate. It's like, get on in here. Mm-hmm. Get in that bed. Mm-hmm. And it's very sweet. And I just like that display of vulnerability from Scully and how honest and upfront she's being, because so often she wasn't like that. And, you know, she always felt like she had to be strong. And I adore strong Scully, but I also adore vulnerable Scully. And so that's why that one is my number 7. What is your number 6, Annie?
Love it. Love it. Okay. My number 6, a slightly different vibe here. But this is going to be from the revival. This is from Plus One. And this is one of my favorite Scully moments, because she gets to actually initiate sex with Mulder twice. I'm going to say specifically the moment at the very, very, very end when they're having their little flirty beat and he leaves and he closes the door and she's rethinking about it. And then she's like, well, you know, then again, it's not out of the realm of extreme possibility. And then as she's walking towards the door, she kind of like bites her lip a little bit.
Guess I should hit the hay.
Okay.
Yeah. If you need anything, you just call me.
I can't imagine that I will.
It's so, like, not, I don't want to say not Scully, but it's not the Scully that we get to see ever.
Yeah.
So yeah. Even just to have that teeny, teeny, tiny little slice into, like, their private life is so amazing to see. And the fact that she's going after it, it's all her twice.
Yeah.
I adore that, Scully. We want more of this sort of sexually forward Scully. I enjoy it. Especially with Mulder. So that's my number 6.
Nice choice. Yeah. Oh, that is a great scene. And yeah, I mean, like, kudos to Scully. She's owning it. And she wants it. She's going for it.
Yeah.
No apologies. She just does. Mm-hmm. And you go get you some, Scully. I mean, yes. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I love that. And yeah, it's a really great point that, you know, we just don't see that side of their relationship. We know it happens mm-hmm. and has happened in the past, mm-hmm. But we don't get to see much of it. And so that scene has to have provided a considerable amount of inspiration for the fanfic writers who have had to write with no indication at all about what the sexual relationship between Scully and Mulder is, but right. there's finally a little bit of a nugget of this is how it actually happens.
Yeah.
And it's pretty great to see. So it's great. It's a great, and it is a great Scully moment, because you're right. She is making it happen. And I admire her.
Weirdly enough, we actually get to thank David for that. I don't know if you knew this, right? That the ending was originally supposed to be, I think, slightly different. But he said, I think it's important here that she gets to be the instigator. And I'm really glad that he made that decision. So, because I think that's important and that's awesome. And you go, girl. You get yours.
Yeah. And yeah, David showing the tremendous understanding he has of these characters in this relationship. Yeah. So, yeah, kudos to David Duchovny. Thank you for that ending, because, yeah, it's perfection. Mm-hmm. My number six, can I just say, I don't want to jinx it, but I'm afraid that I want to say it while I still can, that we're all the way through to my number six. We're almost halfway through and we have yet to have anything in common.
You're right. You're right.
So I'm a little afraid. I'm not sure if my next one's going to jinx it or not, but I just wanted to make sure I said that before anything went off the rails.
I think that of the ones that I have left, that you probably have two. I've already
all
lost.
Right.
You definitely don't have four. So
This is going really well. This is quite fun.
Yeah.
I like being surprised.
Me too.
Okay, my number six is from season number two. My choices are from like all over the map, like so many different seasons, which just goes to show how well Scully was written and performed through the whole series, because there's great Scully moments the whole damn time. Mm-hmm. This one's from season two, another Darren Morgan episode, Humbug.
Oh.
Specifically the moment when Scully eats the crickets.
I knew that you were going to pick that. I didn't pick it because I was like, oh, she's going to have to pick that.
Yeah, I did. I had to, and I did.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you know, that guy, what's his name, Blockhead, is being kind of a jackass, like holding out the jar of crickets to Scully. Oh, but where are my manners? Thinking like, oh, I'm going to scare this little lady.
Yeah.
She's going to be so freaked out. And the fact that Scully just so calmly says, thank you, takes a cricket, puts it in her mouth, and just like, no big deal at all, just like throws it right back in his face. And it's even better knowing that Gillian Anderson herself actually did eat the cricket.
She put it in her mouth, you mean? I didn't actually know
this. I
think
she actually ate it.
Oh, God.
That is my understanding, is that she actually ate it.
Oh, geez. That's disgusting.
I suppose when you think about it, it may be easier to actually eat the cricket than it is to like
do a
make
magic
it look,
trick.
Yeah, to do
yeah,
a magic
yeah.
trick.
Yeah.
Because it really does look like she's eating it. Now, I do believe she actually is, even though Scully doesn't actually eat it.
Yeah.
But whether Scully eats it or not, it's still an awesome move. And she kind of like flips the tables on those guys.
Do you think they had to mention that one cricket died of being devoured by Gillian Anderson? Because I remember on the cockroach episode, they were like, one cockroach died and it was from old age. That's literally what it said. And I was
that's
like,
right.
Are you kidding me? So that's pretty funny if that really happened. I wonder if like the PETA people were after them for her.
Yeah, they probably would have been if they'd known. But, you know, I think it's one of those things that just kind of came out after the fact, like
yeah.
maybe years later. So it's only, you know, the X-Files that are vaguely aware of that. So it may possibly be apocryphal, but I'm pretty confident, and our listeners will correct me if I'm wrong, that Gillian Anderson, in fact, ate the cricket.
That's amazing.
So kudos to her. And even without that element, it's still a great scene. And I always love it when Scully takes a gender expectation from some guy and just throws it back in his face in a very calm way.
Yeah.
And in such a way that they're just left kind of saying, what the fuck just happened? And I adore that. And that's why I love that scene.
Oh, that's a good one. Quite a classic. I think what little underrated moment, I got to give Mulder a shout out. I know we're talking about Scully this episode, but I think it's so funny how he watches her and he after she walks away and he's like, what the fuck? Like, his look is really, really funny. Like, he's just, he's completely, well, probably kind of impressed, but also kind of grossed out. Like, his face.
Quite grossed out.
Yeah, it's really funny.
He's, like, more grossed out by the whole thing than Scully is, obviously.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, yeah.
I love that. I love the fact that, you know, there's two guys standing there, and Scully's the only one that doesn't give a shit about eating a cricket. So
I love it.
I love it, because, you know, whether she's supposed to have eaten it or not, I'm not putting a cricket in my mouth.
No.
I don't care whether I'm eating it or the eating part, maybe I'm not even sure that's the most important part. Putting a live cricket in your mouth, that's badass no matter how you slice it.
It pretty and much
just,
is.
Just doesn't even hesitate for a second. Thank you. Straight in her mouth. Love it.
You know funny? You know what's funny too is the Mulder's reaction to that is it's kind of nicely continuous with his reaction to the cockroaches with Bambi, like when she's like talking about the bugs, and he's like, really? Like, really? The bug? Like, he just hates bugs so much. So it's just kind of, it's a funny little moment that, you know, kind of bears out later in that, which is another Darren episode, but, which I think is pretty funny. But that's a really good pick. Good pick.
All right. So you're number five. We're on like, we're halfway through and still no samesies yet.
No.
So
okay.
You're number five.
So this should probably be higher on my list. But but the ones that are above it are so like important that I couldn't do it. So it's number five.
Right.
I love it so much. In season six, Tithonus, when Scully's out with Alfred Felling and they're watching for the people to die and she's trying to see, and then this woman gets attacked. You know what I'm going to say.
I know where you're going.
And she runs out to stop it and she cuffs the guy and they're getting into a little bit of a tussle. And she, and this is like clearly this hooker's pimp, right?
Yeah.
And she just slaps the pimp in the face. And it's just like, I am done with you. Slap. And it's just the tiniest little moment. And I am dying to know if Jillian improvised that or if that was something that was told to her to do. I really, really want to know, but it's just one of my favorite moments because it's so, it just feels so like like a genuine reaction, like in the moment. She's like, shut your mouth, because I think at the moment he's like hey, what are you doing, Red? Like, he calls her Red. And she just goes slap, and like just slaps him in the face, and it's just the best. So I literally just have Scully pimp slap Tithonus written down, because
that's all you need. That is great. The pimp slap is classic, and I adore it. Tithonus is a great Scully episode all the way around, because that is that's a very Scully episode, and most of it is very sort of serious and deathly. But that is actually kind of a funny moment, intentionally or otherwise. And yeah, I agree. It does have kind of a vaguely improvised feel about it. And if it is, kudos. If it isn't, kudos, because it feels very real either way.
Yeah.
And it's just one of those moments where, again, Scully is just over it.
Yeah.
And she's just has no time. And yeah, like, you're going to try to objectify me? No, we're not doing that right now. And just again, you know, she's not losing her shit or anything. She just gives him a little slap just to get him in line.
Yep.
And kudos to her. How many times have we all wished we could slap every man that gave us shit on the street? So well done, Scully, for doing it for all of us. So. Thanks.
In a weird way, I feel like she's kind of canonized. That's kind of canonized the fact that she does not like to be called Red.
Yeah.
Because I feel like that was what she was reacting to. Was the,
absolutely.
Like, don't you call me that. It was pretty funny. And I love it. And it's amazing.
Awesome. Yeah. Like, don't even, dude. She shows him who's boss. And I appreciate that. Speaking about talent, showing people who's boss. My number five is from Beyond the Sea.
All right. I have this one.
Do you have this one?
I think if I know what you're going to say, which I think I do.
When Scully tells off Boggs after Mulder gets hurt. Is this on your list too?
Yep.
Do we finally have a samesy?
We do.
I had a pretty good feeling that there was a good chance we'd both pick this one, because it is truly classic, but there was no way I was not going to pick it. Usually when we're putting our lists together, I try to think a little bit outside the box, but there's always a few that, even if I feel confident that there's a good chance you'll have it too, there's no way I'm leaving it off my list, because it's just too awesome. So we can talk about yours at the same time, since you have it on your list. I mean, this is season one. So again,
Wait, before we talk about it, let's hear it. Let's just hear it.
This is a trap for Mulder because he helped put you away. Well, I came here to tell you, that if he dies because of what you've done, 4 days from now, nobody will stop me from being the one that'll throw the switch and gas you out of this life for good, you son of a bitch!
And this is from season one. So this is Scully, you know, very sort of, she's very early on in her characterization. Beyond the Sea is kind of a big leap forward for her as a character. We see her doing things that we haven't seen her do before. And she's really coming into her own. She's becoming the Scully that we see for the rest of the series. And this particular scene is a great example of that because, I mean, like, talk about kick ass. Like, that it's this, the scene is very well written and well delivered and well acted. I mean, she's obviously kicking his ass in a major fashion, which we all enjoy tremendously. I mean, you son of a bitch, yes. Mm-hmm. It's done so well. Like, you literally want to get up and cheer when she finishes that. But of course, Jenna Henderson, being who she is, we also get a lot of vulnerability from Scully through the rest of that scene as well, because she does feel torn that, you know, she is taking the stand that you are full of shit. I don't believe a word of what you're saying, but part of her still kind of does. And Boggs is still kind of like manipulating her. And you can see that she's still of two minds over the whole thing. So it's not just kind of like a one note kind of, here's Scully, she's being kick ass. She's also, we see, you know, the emotional depth as well. And I love that. So, but the ass kicking is the best part. So that's my number five. It is a classic scene. It's a classic Scully moment.
Yeah, that's that's my number three. So I'll remind everybody when we get there. But yeah, I agree with everything that you said. I think my favorite thing about it is the fact that she's battling herself. Like you said, it's like she's not really sure what she believes at this point. But this continually amazes me whenever I watch season one that this freak out takes place in season one, because she's having this emotional reaction because Mulder is dying. And it really feels like something that would feel more appropriate even in like season four. You know what I mean? Like the fact that this is season one and they're there already. Like, obviously she cares about him, but this is just one of those moments where you're like, well, where did all this emotion come from? Like, oh my God, you know? And it's just, it's fierce loyalty and dedication and, you know, dare we say love. But it's just such a really, really wonderful admission without admitting, you know, how worried and terrified she is that he's going to die. And she also probably partially blames herself a little bit because, you know, she wasn't able to warn him properly, you know. So there's a whole lot of stuff wrapped up in this moment, but it's all tied up in a beautiful little Gillian Anderson perfect performance bow. So yeah, great one. And of course, I'm not surprised. That was definitely one of the ones that I assumed would be on both of our lists.
And it deserves double attention because it's that awesome. Because like you say, it's like not only Scully's kicking ass, but there's like a nice undercurrent of shippiness to it too.
Yeah.
So it's just like perfection. Mm-hmm. And like, yeah, we were losing our shit back in season one to hear all that kind of stuff happening. So it is kind of amazing to watch it now and to see, yeah, like, wow, they were there.
Yeah.
And at that point in season one, like, Scully was already there. And love it. Love that. Love that whole scene. It's a great episode, of course.
Yeah.
And yeah, that is a classic Scully moment. So I'm glad that we had it both on both our lists. It deserves it.
Yeah.
We're on to your number four. What's your number four, Annie?
We are. All right. My number four is another one from the revival. I'm actually surprised we have so many revival Scully. Revival Scully was pretty badass, you know? I mean, I think
kind of was.
There were some moments that, you know, maybe we didn't appreciate, but there were so many that we did. And this in particular is a moment from the season 11 episode This. And this is the moment that we all like to refer to as the Scully slide.
this is on my list as well.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah.
We see the Scully and Mulder in their house getting home invaded. And they have this, what I can only assume is some sort of elaborate drill that they have practiced. And it makes total sense because, you know, they've been in hiding. And I just love how rehearsed it feels because I think it's supposed to feel that way. Like they have this plan. And he says, go. And they go. And Scully's way to go is to slide across the kitchen floor, under the table, kick over the table. Also, while simultaneously picking up her gun off the table, I need to say, and then create a little barricade for herself to start like shooting bad guys. And it's like, this is like a 54-year-old woman just kicking ass, and I am here for it. And the cool thing about it too is that Jillian said she did do some of that stunt, but the best part about it was she's like, I hurt myself, like. Because we all know that's what would really happen. But in the world of awesome, badass, kick-ass Scully, she gets to do the Scully slide, and it is a thing of beauty.
It is a total thing of beauty. It's like that whole scene feels like beautifully choreographed, and that is like the perfect moment. And it's actually number two on my list, because that's how much I love that.
Nice.
It's just, yeah, it's just like, yeah, the fact that it's, if that had happened in like season three, I'm not sure I would have taken as much note of it. It's the fact that, you know, she's a character who's 54 years old and she is still kicking ass. Mm-hmm. And it is a very well done scene and very sort of cleverly put together. And just, and of course, we've got the great music playing as well, California Sun. And the whole thing is perfection. And yeah, the way that, I mean, it's really well edited too, because, you know, like you say, I think Jillian did part of that stunt, but not the whole stunt necessarily. But it is very sort of seamless, and it really does look like all one motion, where she goes into the slide, she slides into the table, she grabs the gun, she knocks the table down. It really looks like it's just seamless, mm-hmm. and it's just so beautifully shot and beautifully edited. And yeah, I love it. It's just, it's kick-ass, it's badass, it's all of those wonderful things, and I adore it.
Amazing. That's okay, so we now have two in common. All right.
We have two so far.
All right, let's see where
we're starting to get a few. Well, now that we're getting into the real classic top ones.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, cool.
We'll see if there's any more. Let's hear what your number four is.
Well, that was my number four.
That was your number four. It's my number four.
Okay.
My number four.
Your number four.
Mine is from the episode Chinga.
Okay, I do not have anything from Chinga.
Okay, good. And it's specifically the scene where Scully is rhyming off all of the signs of potential occult involvement in the case that she's working on while talking on the phone to Mulder.
And Mulder is slowly getting a boner, that scene?
Yeah, quite quickly, I would argue. And
Yeah,
because it's like, you know, they're talking about the case, Mulder suggesting witchcraft, and Scully says, well, I don't think it's witchcraft. And of course, you expect Scully to say that. And Mulder's like, well, you know, you may not know what you're looking for because I'm Mulder and you're Scully. And but she so does know what she's looking for. Let's listen to the clip.
It sounds to me like that's witchcraft or maybe some sorcery that you're looking for.
No, I don't think it's witchcraft, Mulder, or sorcery. I've had a look around, and I don't see any evidence of anything that warrants that kind of suspicion.
Yeah, well, maybe you don't know what you're looking for.
Like evidence of conjury or the black arts or shamanism, divination, Wicca, or any kind of pagan or neo-pagan practice. Charms, cards, familiars, bloodstones, or hex signs, or any of the ritual tableau associated with the occult, Santeria, Vudan, Macumba, or any high or low magic.
Scully.
Yes.
Marry me.
So yeah, like she's not trying to like show off. She's not trying to like impress him or show him up or anything like that. She's very matter of fact.
Yeah.
Just rhyming it all off. Like this is just stuff she knows.
Yeah.
And you know, maybe doing a case by herself without Mulder gives her a chance to show off her knowledge a little bit and to utilize it. You know, usually she doesn't have to talk about that stuff because Mulder's talking about it the whole damn time.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point because I feel like if he were there, he would be saying it, but it's her moment to be like, well, just because I'm here and you're the one saying it doesn't mean I don't know it. Like,
exactly.
Especially at this point, 5 years in. I mean, I'm sure a lot of this stuff she's learned from him, I think, probably, or at least listened to him ramble on about it enough that she is now able to recite it. I kind of like to believe that, like, that she's essentially maybe reciting something back, because it is in a very Mulder way. The way she, the way she's telling him is in a very Mulder way, because I don't really feel like we've heard her do that before, but we've heard him do that a lot. And so in a way it's like she's kind of playing with him, but at the same time, she's also kind of like over it. And she's, so it's really funny. That's a great one. It did not occur to me. So really good pick.
Yeah. I love the way, and you're right. It is done in a very Mulder way. And yeah, it's almost like by rote. Like she's heard all these things so many times that it's all just like, it's like reciting the alphabet for her at that age of working at the X-Files. So I love that. We very rarely get a chance to see Scully demonstrate her knowledge of all this X-Files-y stuff, but of course she has it. And it's wonderful to see. And yeah, I enjoy that every time. I mean, I would ask her to marry me too after that. So it's no wonder that Mulder does. She really should have said yes, but that's okay. And shout out, because we're talking about Chinga, to Larry Musser, who we love and adore, who of course plays Chief Jack Bonsaint in that episode and is present for that scene. He's kind of looking at Scully like, what's she talking about?
You know, we got to ask Larry how many takes that took, because I would be really curious to know how well Jillian was able to ramble that list.
Yeah, that had to be so challenging.
As
an actress, because she gets through it quickly, but like she's not meant to sound like she's rushing at the same time. So it's just, you know, actors are amazing with what they can do with their voices and how they can read things and just like pick things up so well, and the way they can recite things so well, and they amaze me.
You know, it's funny too, and I mean, particularly David and Jillian, and I feel like both of them kind of, I think, can sometimes get a bad rap because it can feel like they're kind of doing the same shtick over and over and over again. But I think that it's amazing to me the subtleties that they can bring into their performance. Like we're saying, even this thing, it's just her rambling off a list. But like, I can name like 8 emotions she's feeling in that moment. Yeah. You know what I mean? And the fact that I know that she's mimicking Mulder back to Mulder, like I can pick up on that just by the way she's doing it. And I think this sort of acting is just, it's when it's so subtle that you pick up on all that stuff and you don't even really realize it. It's kind of like, that's when you know it's working.
Absolutely.
And that's when you know that they're actually really dialing into those characters. So I think it's a really great pick. And something I didn't think of, and I should have. It's an awesome pick.
They have such a great handle on their characters, especially by that point. Mm-hmm. And you're absolutely right that sometimes people just kind of say, oh, well, you know, they just kind of like, especially David's performance, he's very bland. And well, Scully's just the same all the time. But you're right. Those of us that watch it with any degree of attention can see the subtleties that make the performances for both of those actors. Mm-hmm. And the subtleties are amazing because, you know, they could easily have wound, these two roles could have wound up in the hands of actors that overplayed and kind of made a mess. And we would probably not even have gotten to season 5. And it's the way that they played the characters that makes it work.
It's interesting, too, is I think particularly with David, I think it could have been really easy to make Mulder like a sort of caricature. To make a silly character that nobody believed, that was just always rambling about crazy shit, which he is. But Duchovny brings a kind of maturity, like a believability to this guy, and makes him feel real. I don't want to start talking about David and Mulder when we're talking about Scully, but like, it's just something that I notice too. Anytime I see a scene like this where they're just so dialed into their character, and Scully, you know, rambling all of this off, doing her thing, it's really nice to see, and it's nice to point out that I don't know. I just think David in particular doesn't get enough credit for that, for how difficult making this character a believable, likable character would be. And he was able to do it. So, kudos.
Well
same,
said.
Same with Scully, you know, because it would have been very easy for that character to be unlikable. You know, even the one I mentioned earlier with the Clyde Bruckman, that kind of line coming from anyone else that we did not know already as Scully would have been like super unlikable and super rude. But because we know that character so well, and because she's so good with her inflections and making it sound like Scully, we forgive it and we say, oh, that's just so Scully. You know what I mean? And to get to that point is just pretty incredible. And, you know, they both deserve all the kudos for that. So
they really do. It's like, to me, it's a miracle. They are the miracle of the X-Files, mm-hmm. both David and Jillian, because they're the magic that made that show happen. And I know there's lots of other people, of course, that contributed in many, many wonderful ways. But the fact that they were cast in those roles just feels like magic to me. Yeah. And because it could easily have been somebody else. And kudos to Chris Carter and his peeps for recognizing the talent and the chemistry of those two. So a little Mulder love on our Scully episode, because we got to keep our Mulder fans happy as well.
Yeah.
You can't have Scully without Mulder.
Certainly.
Have we done your number three already?
Well, my number three was the Beyond the Sea freakout. So
your number three was Beyond the Sea. So I'll do my number three, which we haven't done yet. Mm-hmm. And speaking about Mulder and Scully, my number three is from The Truth, which of course is the finale of number nine, season nine, and the full series at that point. And it's the final scene of that episode. In the motel room where Mulder's feeling pretty down. He's feeling pretty down on himself and kind of ready to give up. And we see once again how Scully is Mulder's source of strength in this very sort of quiet, intense way.
Oh, yes.
And his source of hope as well. And that she always has been that. They've been that for each other, really. But we really see that in this obviously very important scene, because it's the final scene of the series at that point. Let's just listen to how that conversation unfolded.
Why would I accept it? Why would I accept it if you won't? Well, do you say that you failed? But you only fail if you give up. And I know you. You can't give up. It's what I saw in you when we first met. It's what made me follow you. Why I'd do it all over again.
So, yeah, that's just especially, you know, when I wrote this on my list, I identified it as I know you won't give up from The Truth, because that's the bit that I love the most from that. And even when Mulder doesn't believe in himself, Scully always does. And it's her faith in him that gives him the strength to go on. It has many times over the course of the series. So Scully is such an important part of Mulder throughout the series. He wouldn't be anything probably without Scully. If Scully hadn't come into his life, who knows where he would be, but he certainly wouldn't be where he was and where he became. And this scene really, really illustrates it, because while it's a scene that, you know, obviously both Mulder and Scully have important roles to play in that scene, I really appreciate the role that Scully is playing in it, because she's the one who's being strong here, and it's completely authentic and completely honest and so beautifully done, and it really illustrates the beauty of their relationship and the strength that she provides for Mulder. And when he says at the end, maybe there's hope, that's because of Scully. She has brought him around to that in the course of that conversation, because he didn't have any at the start of that conversation. And by the end, he does. And that's all on Scully. So I love that moment. And that is my tear-jerking number three.
That's a really good one. And that didn't occur to me. It's interesting that you bring that up, because I never really saw it like that before, even though, like, I know that that's what's happening in the scene. You're mm-hmm. right. It seems like Scully is like the MVP of that finale.
Yeah, exactly.
Whereas I would say, like, you know, Mulder or David would be like more of the MVP of the revival finale. I feel like Scully really sort of brought it home here, in the terms of like the story and where the story is ending and where the story is wrapping up. It's all about the hope. And yeah, he would have lost that without her. And he already had. My God, like the way he has been behaving this entire episode, as we've talked about a lot. Without her, where would he have been?
We can see with where he is, because he has been without her for that whole season.
Yeah.
And of course, this is what that does to Mulder. Mm-hmm. We see when he's in prison, that's what being without Scully does to him.
Yeah, he's and in like the lowest place possible, and she's the only one really who can bring him out of it, and that's just really nice to see. So yeah, great Scully moment. I like it.
Nice. I love that, and I just adore that whole scene. And so yeah, I had to put that in there because I adore strong yet vulnerable and beautiful Scully. So that's my number three.
Really good.
Have we done your number two yet, Annie?
We have not. Not technically. Okay, so this is my Tunguska Terma one. And you
this is interesting.
You briefly touched on it, but specifically the moment that I picked is when she's not wanting to tell where Mulder is, and they're like, if you don't say where Mulder is, we're gonna hold you in contempt. And she's literally like, bitch, do I care? And like, she didn't say that, but she just like, I love it because it just cuts to her being walked down the hall into the cell, and she gives no shits at all. She's just like, all right, where are my books? Gonna sit here, gonna read. Don't care. I everything about that moment is so awesome, and like she says, and it's true that she's in there for bigger reasons than just Mulder, but she's doing what Mulder would do, which is what I love. It's like it's one of these moments where like kind of like your Chinga thing, like where it's kind of rubbed off on her, and I love the moments where they rub off on each other, and you can kind of see them, you can see those actions sort of manifesting in their own actions. And this is definitely one of those moments. I love it when she's just like, and she didn't say a word. This is definitely one of those scenes where she does not have to say a word. It's her body language. It's her just like, whatevs, I got it. I'm just going to cool my heels here until you're ready to listen. And I love it. And she ends up doing what she needs to do. You know, she ends up delaying and keeping him out of trouble and protecting all their secrets and protecting Mulder. And it's a badass Scully moment, and I love it. So that's my number two.
That is an awesome number two. That is a great moment because, yeah, it is a separate moment from the one that I mentioned earlier, but also awesome in its own way. And yeah, I love the way, like you say, that it cuts from, you know, saying, you know, we're going to hold you in contempt, so fess up, lady. And the fact that it cuts like immediately to her basically being put in jail, it's kind of like the way I sort of see that is it's like the show saying, you know what Scully's going to do. We don't even really have to show you the rest of that scene. You know she's going to go to jail for Mulder. And of course, that's what she does. And I love that. It's like, this goes without saying to the audience at that point is kind of what I see that as saying. And I love that. And it's like, yeah, of course. And yeah, she's just like, she's been in way worse shit than this. This is like no big deal to her. And she's not letting anything. She's like, you're going to have to do a lot worse to me if you're going to get me screw around with my man. Mm-hmm. So no, not going to happen. And yeah, I love it. I love her whole attitude when she's in the little Congress jail. And so yeah, she's awesome. What a great number two. I'm so glad you picked that because, yeah, that's another awesome part of that's sort of like immediately following the part that I picked out in those episodes. So kick-ass Scully protecting her man and just showing those boys what's up.
Let's make it clear that while she is doing it for Mulder, she's not doing it only for Mulder. She's not doing this. She's not doing this for a man. She is, you know, fucking over men at this point, to be honest.
She really is. Yeah, I think, is it all men kind of on that Senate committee? I don't recall there being any women there.
I think probably. I'm just going to guess.
I think it's all men. It's definitely all men that speak, that's for sure. But and so, yeah, it's definitely that vibe of, like, Scully against the men.
She wants to go, she wants to protect Mulder and keep him out of trouble, but she is going to contempt of court for like truth and justice, which is what Mulder would want. So
absolutely,
I do not mean to take away any shippiness from the moment, but I don't like the idea that she's going to jail for a man. So she's going to jail for lots of reasons.
To jail for lots of reasons. Scully is a multi-layered person.
Yes,
and this represents many of those layers.
Yes,
we're on to number one now.
Well, you're number two.
I think.
We need your number.
My number two was this sliding under the table.
Oh, right. Okay. Yep. All right. Wow. Okay. So what
we've
do you
done my number two?
What do you
so
think?
So now we're on to number one. And now, yeah, it's like, I feel like right now this is kind of like,
okay,
this is like showdown at the OK Corral. And we're just kind of like looking at each other like, is your number one what my number one is?
I have a feeling that I am so certain that this is your number one. That if
yes.
it isn't your number one, you are going to be angry at yourself. That's where
okay.
I'm.
Okay.
So let's see.
Shit.
Let's see.
I'm nervous now. I'm
okay.
a little nervous now. All right. So, but you get to go first. So,
I'm so sure that this is it that I'm not even.
Right.
Okay.
I'll make a sound if you're. Well, I'll make a sound either way, whether you're right or wrong. I'll
All
either
right.
sound happy or not happy. So tell me, what episode is your number one from?
My number one all-time Scully moment. Is from
yes.
Redux 2. When Mulder.
Oh,
are you serious? When Mulder is in her room, she's dying, and she tells him, if I can save you, let me.
Well, then you have to lay it on me. You have to tell them that I was the one who killed that man.
I can't do that.
Yes, you can. Mulder, if I could save you, let me. Let me at least give some meaning to what's happened to me.
That is, to me, the best Scully moment of all time, because she's literally dying and all she wants to do is help Mulder, and because it's the only thing that she can do. It's the only thing that she can give her life meaning in her mind. And my God, if that's not love, I don't know what is. So that is my number one.
That is a perfect number one. I'm not really mad at myself. Because I did briefly think about that moment. I mean, I'm not sure why I didn't put it in the top 10. I think it's probably because I talked about it quite a lot in
Maybe
our...
Maybe that's why you've talked about it so much that I was certain this would be on your list. Yeah.
Yeah, but that's kind of why I thought I'd leave it off the list this time. Because I thought, well, there are a lot of great Scully moments to pick from.
Right.
You can't go wrong with any 10 you pick. And so I thought, you know what? I think I'm going to leave that one off the list this time.
All right.
Because I want to talk about other ones. But I'm really glad you mentioned it because it is an awesome Scully moment. If I can save you, let me, like you say, I mean, she's dying and she's still trying to do what she can for Mulder. And like you just said, for truth and justice. And
this one, I will walk that back and say she's doing it for Mulder.
It largely is.
Yeah.
And it's just, I mean, that's a classic line, right? If I can save you, let me.
But this is a more
gorgeous.
This is a much more intimate moment. So I can allow that. I can allow that where I don't necessarily want to allow that in the previous moment, if that makes sense. She's
fair, yeah.
She's kind of at the point in her life where she's really sort of like deciding what's important. And those are like the smaller intimate things. You know what I mean? So, I mean, yeah, she does definitely care about the truth. Obviously, that's what this entire conversation is about. But in the end, she does not want him to have to pay for this because he doesn't deserve it. And she's like, well, you know, I'm dying anyway. If I can make this happen, then let it. And it's such a nice act of sacrifice on her part. And he won't let her do it. Which I think is really kind of beautiful. Everything about that scene is beautiful, but it's just such a nice selfless moment.
Gorgeous.
Yeah.
It's so beautiful. And yet there's just so much courage on both of their parts in that scene. I mean, Scully's being so brave with offering to do this. And Mulder is so brave for not letting her because he very easily could.
Right.
And, you know, win-win, everybody wins, but he still won't let her.
Nobody wins, but
yeah. Yeah. When you're dead. No.
Yeah. Yeah. No, let's not.
But, you know, there would have been no harm as far as Scully was concerned.
Right.
And he could easily have taken that.
Yeah.
And he didn't because, you know, he's just a really good guy.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just, I love that scene. It's one of my favorite episodes. Kudos for your number one. I applaud you.
Thank you.
What's curious is that my number one wasn't on your list at all, which is interesting because we kind of both thought we had the same number one. So not only do we not have the same number one, neither of our number ones was even on the other's list.
Yeah, now I'm worried I'm going to be pissed. So let's hear it. Let's hear it.
You are. All right. I guess we'll find out. I mean, this is to me like, I think a lot of our listeners have been, maybe some of our listeners have been waiting for one of us to mention this, because this is a pretty classic Scully moment for me. It's not from an episode. It's from a movie. That movie is called Fight the Future. And it is the moment, I'm just going to say it, just pick up the phone and make it happen. Let's play the clip.
Need this building evacuated and cleared out in 10 minutes. I want you to call the fire department and have them block off the city center in a 1 mile radius around the building.
10 minutes?
Don't think. Just pick up that phone and make it happen.
That was on my list and it got bumped off. Because while I agree with that in terms of it's a great pick. I'm not saying it isn't a great pick, but it was not even close to number one, because it, as badass as it is, it's very badass. There's not a whole lot of like emotional impact behind it. So so for me, that's the reason that I didn't put it on my list.
Fair
enough. It's like the Scully slide. It's just Scully being badass. But there isn't like a whole lot of emotional heft to it. It's just It's like the Spender moment. It's like, you know, I don't care who you do, make it happen. It's like a very similar moment to that. And that's the reason I left it off, honestly, because I thought it was very similar to that.
Yeah.
But
fair enough.
But that's a very, very classic Scully take charge moment. Anyway, I'll let you talk about it. It's your moment.
Yeah, no, it's like I obviously really like badass Scully, and there doesn't have to be a lot else going on, since like the Scully slide was my number two and this was my number one. So I just really love kick-ass Scully. And it's just the fact that, again, it's men. There's a bunch of male security guards sitting around.
Twiddling their thumbs.
What is happening?
Who is this small woman and why is she screaming at me?
Small woman. And she makes it happen. I mean, she sounds slightly crazy. She's insisting that they have to evacuate the whole building in less than 10 minutes. And they're like, are you fucking serious right now? Oh, she is fucking serious.
Uh-huh.
And she convinces them of that in such a vivid fashion. And there's something about the physicality with the way she's pointing her phone at them when she says, pick up the phone and make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
Don't think. Just pick up the phone and make it happen. I mean, I just adore that line, and I adore the way that Scully says it, the way that Jillian delivers it. It's just so badass and so kick-ass. And it's like, this is not one where she's just being all subtle and calm. No, no. I mean, lives are at stake. You've only got 10 minutes. She is conveying the urgency of the situation in a very effective way. And I just love it. I love that line. I adore it. It's just one of my favorite lines for the movie. And I try to use it whenever I can in everyday conversation. And I just love it. I love that's my Scully sort of chef's kiss perfect moment. So that's my number one.
You know what I love most about that pick, or about that line and that moment, is that they so easily could have given that line to Mulder, and they didn't.
Yeah.
They were like, no, Scully's going to get this line. And it's a really great, like, sort of power female moment. And, you know, in the mid-90s, which is, you know, I know Scully's been around for a while, and we get to have a lot of moments close to this, but I don't think anything, and even probably after, quite meets that level of intensity and taking charge. And it is a really, really important moment to be on the list. I mean, you know, I was just telling you my reasonings for taking it off. It's just, it was very similar to my other moment, but it's a great one. And I think it's actually a perfect one to end our list with, because you're right. I bet you people were waiting for it. So
I hope people liked it. And it's quite early in the movie, and it's a great way to sort of convey to the audience, this is who Scully is.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no better way to convey it, in my opinion. So yeah, I love Scully. I love kick-ass Scully. I love sort of emotional and vulnerable Scully. I love compassionate Scully. She has so many wonderful things, and I feel like our lists have touched on a lot of that.
I really do. I mean, it very easily could have been 20 just straight badass Scully moments, but I really like the idea that we picked a lot of different types of Scully moments. So
Yeah, because she is a many splendored thing, and she deserves all of the love that we're giving her.
Well, you know what? I think that we've probably missed a lot, and you know there are only so many we can do when we have 20 to do. So I want everybody listening to let us know what your favorite Scully moments are that we missed, and we will read them next time on the podcast. We definitely will, because I know that we missed a ton, and I can't wait to see the ones rolling in that I forgot. So
this was fun, and we actually did not have that many in common. I think we only had two.
We did only have two.
The Scully slide and Beyond the Sea.
Yeah.
That was it. That was, I am surprised that it was so few, because we made no attempt. I had no idea what you were picking. You had no idea what I was picking.
I literally was talking to you like this morning, and I'm like, oh, are we doing Scully moments? I better get my list together. We did not talk about this at all. So this is pretty amazing.
No, it's great. And I mean, the fact that we could really quite easily come up with so many different ones is just a testament to how great a character she is, that there are an infinite number of great Scully moments to pick from. And I could come up with another 10 quite easily. And you could probably come up with another 10 quite easily. And they'd probably, again, be mostly different, because there's so many options to pick from. So there's not a lot of like, oh, well, you know, that's an obvious one. It's like, no, there's so many great ones that we can easily fill up our lists and not have much overlap. So that says a lot about how much greatness there is in that character.
Well, for sure, our next top 10 list is going to have to be our top 10 Mulder moments, right? I mean, we're going to have that happen pretty soon. So you guys get your Scully fix today, and next time around we'll have one for the Mulder fans. So thanks you guys for listening, and tweet at us at XFD Podcast, and we will be back with you next time on X-Files Diaries.
Bye.